wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Where art thou? Locate yourself. Where art thou? I want to help you locate yourself on the map of God's dealings with the souls of men by his Holy Spirit. Where art thou? You have heard those words before. They were the first words of the Lord God to Adam after he had sinned. Where was Adam? He was clutching his fig leaf apron and hiding from God behind a big tree in Eden's garden. What was the matter with that frightened man? He was really afraid. He had disobeyed God's commandment. He had listened to the devil. He had fallen into sin. Where art thou? Adam didn't know where he was. He knew where he had been as he had enjoyed the presence of the Lord, but now all was different. He knew he was still in the Garden of Eden, but he didn't know how he stood before God. Neighbor, this message is to help you locate yourself and find how you stand before God. When we travel, if we lose our way, we stop and look at the map to try and locate just where we are. Neighbor, get out of the traffic and rush of this world and consider just where you are before God right now. I will get out God's map, God's chart, the Holy Bible, and it will show you just where you are. When I look at a map, I see towns I have already passed, highways I have crossed. Just so, you have already had certain experiences with God, as the Holy Spirit has been working with your soul. What have they been? I doubt not you have been alarmed as you considered your sins in deeds, in words, in thoughts, and in desires, all of which were your own sins. You have been troubled. Your conscience lashed you. Concern gripped you. What is this? It is a divine work in your soul by the Holy Spirit. He is convicting you of sin. But these are but the first miles along the road. You must go further on. Our Lord helped one man find out where he was on God's map by telling him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He was well along the road. He was near the kingdom, but not in it. Where art thou? Surely you want to know, and you can know. Come then, ride along with me on the road of life and see the workings of the Holy Spirit in the souls of men. You will see familiar sights where you have been, and then you will see where you have never been. On this road of life, there are four important junctions where people have definite experiences with God, and decisions are made that will make or break them for eternity. So be very careful when you face those decisive moments in your life. In such experiences, millions before you have lost out with God, and they never went any further but turned back into perdition. How tragic. So be very careful. Watch your step at these four junctions. Now we shall start off. We all started on the wrong road. It was the highway of sin, the broad road of the world, and down that road we traveled, running away from God, filled by sin along the road, some trying one thing and others another. Then we saw a billboard that read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." How true are those words? They stir your soul. A little further on, you see another that reads, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then another sign fairly jumps at you with its message, "God will bring thee into judgment." But you are running away from God. Has he gotten ahead of you and blocked the road? There, right ahead, is the first fork in the road. Let's slow down and be careful, lest we take the wrong road. A sign faces us. An open Bible is on it that reads, "I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" That is clear enough. Why go on down that road to hellfire? God wants us to turn. This is the repentance junction, where the Holy Spirit calls upon men convicted of their sins to repent and to seek the Lord. But here, some race by. They don't even read the signs. Such are the people who never read their Bible, nor hear a preacher, and whenever their sins trouble them, they try to forget them by drinking or plunging into some other sin. Then we see another come. As he pauses and reads, he trembles in fear. He knows he ought to turn, and he starts to do so when one of his old buddies says, "Come on, comrade, come with me." And he yields, and down to perdition they go together. At that repentance junction, awful soul-damning decisions are made, decisions that make hell enlarge herself. But thank God, some few do turn onto that repentance road. They decide to own up to their sin and guilt and to turn away from it as they seek God's mercy and his deliverance. Neighbor, what did you do at the repentance junction? Alas, some of you never made that turn. You tried to bypass repentance, and now where art thou? Unrepentant and hastening down to hellfire. What should you do now? You know, turn back and take that repentance road. You can, will you? But some of you did take that road, turning from your sins and this world that you once loved and from yourself that you so dearly loved. You got down on your knees and sought God's mercy. Thank God that you didn't make the turn. You took that first real step toward God. The biggest battle is over. But conviction is not conversion, and repentance is not saving faith. So, as you press forward on that repentance road, a fear comes over you. It seems as Satan's demons line both sides of the road. They hiss, they shriek to scare you from going further. God knows this, and he sends his guardian angels to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation. So, protected by this heavenly band, you press on. Just ahead, we see our second junction. By it, we see a cross, a criminal's cross, and on it a bleeding man. Over his head is the inscription, "Christ died for our sins." Now we arrive at the scene, and suddenly, as out of a clear sky, all is darkness. The earth quakes. Oh, what an awful scene. Then we hear the most heartbreaking cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What does it all mean?" We hear a soldier's voice as he cries, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Then, from one further on ahead of us, we hear, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Lovely, wonderful. But what about me? And then that same voice, as if knowing our very problem, says, "He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man." With this, the darkness lifts. We look, but the cross is empty, while the sign remains, "Christ died for our sins." I believe it. He died for me, for my sins. He's my Savior. Then I see at this road for two signs. The one that turns down reads, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." To our utter amazement, we see so many, once so troubled, and even saying they would repent, yet here they turn away. They are offended at that cross, as they say, "What? Me follow one who died on a criminal's cross?" They also despise blood atonement. They won't have God's mercy that way. Once convicted, but not converted, they turn away into the darkness of unbelief. But that other road that leads straight on and up is marked by these words, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." I said, "Lord, I believe," and I launch forth on that road of faith. But what did you do at that Calvary's crossroad? You know, it had to be belief or unbelief. It was receive him or reject him. Which did you do? And where art thou right now? We now travel that road of faith. And soon we find ourselves in the fog. Concern seizes us. The road is dark as death. We awake as out of a stupor to this. Christ died. Then our Savior is dead. And our faith is vain. Despair and gloom captivate our spirits. Suddenly, we're at the third junction. As the fog lifts, we see a tomb with its big stone rolled back, and on that stone is inscribed, "He is not here, he is risen, as he said." But where is he? A sign reads, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." A man in the glory? On God's right hand? Jesus our Lord, delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. Blessed news, hope revives as we cry, hallelujah, Jesus lives. Now the road leads on, but the gate is closed. On the gate is inscribed these words, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I fall on my knees and cry, Lord Jesus, I believe thou art the living one, and I confess thee as my Lord. Lord Jesus, I surrender to thee. As I arise, I hear a voice, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gate swings open. I enter the confession room. Neighbor, must I leave you outside? Would you rebel and say, I will not have this man reign over me? To be saved, you must receive Christ Jesus the Lord. That salvation gate will only open when you sound clear and plain that word, Lord, L-O-R-D. And now we travel on together. I hope you have entered in. The sun is bright as we sing together of our Redeemer who lives. The Spirit of God fills our heart with joy and peace. Our Lord's presence is so real to us, we sing. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Just then, we see another junction, and it's caution light. We're surprised. We were so walking on air, we thought that heaven was our next stop. It is the obedience junction. At it, we hear our Lord's voice. Why call ye me Lord and Master, and do not the things that I say? Ashamed, we answer, Lord, what things? He says, in my word, I told you to be buried with me in baptism, to remember me in breaking bread till I come, to suffer the loss of all things for my sake in the Gospels, to be my witness and tell what great things I've done for you. I am your Lord, and I expect your obedience. Then we see others with us, and as they hear this, they quickly turn and take a smooth, easy-looking road marked least resistance. And as they go, they say, we don't have to do all that to go to heaven. We heard no cross, no crown, but we don't care about the crowns. These do give their stingy tithe and go to church once on Sunday, but count them out when it comes to suffering for Christ, bearing his shame and working for him. Now they have gone. Where? Only God knows. So we leave such people in his hands. On that obedience road ahead, we see a few happy folks going steadily forward. And as they go, they sing, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We decide, Lord, I will take up my cross and follow thee, Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? At this, the Holy Spirit takes over as he says, follow me. As obedient children, led by the Spirit, we find that rugged road blessed. As he gives us grace and strength for all our labor, communing with us all the way home to heaven, where our Lord Jesus will welcome us home with his well done. Now, neighbor, where art thou? Surely God's map has helped you locate yourself. Now do something about it. Whatever it takes, be 100% on the Lord's side. Be out and out for Jesus Christ. The Bible charges us each one to do this. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So, neighbor, let me review a bit. Ask yourself, have I truly repented of my sins and turned from them to God for his mercy and deliverance? If so, then, have I resigned all I ever trusted in, and have I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as my Savior and in his precious blood that cleanses from all sin? If so, then, have I rejoiced to see my Savior risen from the dead and ascended into heaven? And have I, in complete surrender, confessed him as my Lord to submit to him in willing obedience? If so, then, have I put my faith and confession into action and obeyed him in all things, never turning back, but always doing what he commands me to do? Now, if you can answer, yes, I have, to these four tests, then, as one who has traveled this road for over 66 years, I exhort you, first, practice every day the hearing of God's word and doing what it says. And second, walk in the Spirit, as led and controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit in everything. But many of you in my audience must answer, no, I have not. And you remember at what junction you turned to the way of the world and sin, and you lost out with God. Surely you do not intend to live and die that way. So I plead with you to get right with God, whatever it takes. Go all the way and don't stop until you know that you too are a real Bible Christian, saved and secure in Christ Jesus, whom you know by personal experience as your own Lord and Savior. And make that decision. Make that move today, now. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.